Why does God answer prayer? The fact that He does answer prayer hardly needs to be defended. We recognize that God in His sovereign goodness and grace does answer prayer. But why? And I find an answer tucked away in three verses recorded in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 11 to 13. And these I read. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Why does God answer prayer? And I believe the answer to that question is a very, very simple one. You don't have to be a theologian, young people, to understand the answer to the question, why does God answer prayer? Because He is a Father, and a Father delights to meet the need of His children. It's that simple. He's a Father, and He has a Father's heart. And since He has a Father's heart, it's His delight to meet need. Selah. That means pause and let that sink in. In order to teach this simple lesson, our Lord calls attention to how evil men act. How evil men act. And there are certain things that men, no matter how evil they may be, will do. And our Lord cites an illustration. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give He for a fish give him a serpent, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I had an interesting conversation with a man who came to our congregation this morning. He is head of the Department of Psychiatry in one of the most influential medical schools attached to a large university in our country. A man, from questioning him, I found, is known and respected all across our nation because of the position he holds in medical education. He is called upon to counsel many, many people. And he said to me, Pastor, there is a question that I would like to ask you. He said, when a man has a mental or an emotional sickness, illness, or problem, I know medically how to help him. But he said, what I need your help in is how do you deal with a man who is not mentally or emotionally sick, but is just evil through and through. And he said, I sit with men in my office who have no known or discoverable mental illness, who are destroying themselves and their families and their society, not because they are sick, but because they are evil to the core. Now he said, as a teacher of Bible and as a pastor, what is your answer to that problem? And you know as I do, there's only one answer to an evil heart, and that's to receive a new heart. But our Lord recognized, as this doctor did, that there are some men that are evil through and through. But in spite of that fact, they will respond to a child's need. And our Lord is talking about that which characterizes a father's heart. He's not talking in this passage just about a father's response to his own children. He's talking about the response of a man who has a father's heart to any child in need. And it is natural for one who has a father's heart to respond to the need that the child presents to him. And so our Lord says that no matter how evil a man may be, if that man has a father's heart and a child comes to him and asks him bread, will he turn around, give him a stone? Will he mock the hungry lad's need? Will he turn a deaf ear to the plea? Why, of course not. Why not? Not because he's good, but because he has a father's heart. A father's heart will not give that which lacks nourishment, that which could never sustain. Or the one who has a father's heart will not mock the hungry child who comes and asks him for something to eat. Even though he is evil, his father's heart would prevent him from doing it. Or our Lord enlarges on it. If this lad asks him a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? According to Jewish law, a serpent was unclean. It would defile. And if one were to touch a serpent, he would be ceremonially undefiled. Fish was a clean food. It would not defile. It would nourish and satisfy without defiling. And if one has a father's heart in response to a plea for meat, the father would not give the child that which would defile him and make him unclean before the law. Our Lord uses a third illustration. If this lad shall ask an egg because he is hungry, will he offer him a scorpion? Will he give him that which destroys him? And of course the answer is, that one who has a father's heart would not give to the child that which would destroy him, that which would defile him, or that which would mock him. Why wouldn't he? And I repeat again, it's not because the man is good that he responds this way. But he responds as he does because he has a father's heart. And a father's heart provides and protects and responds to a plea. Now, our Lord's argument is this. Verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And what he says is this, that if men can have a father's heart and can respond consequently to the needs of children who depend on them, how much more shall your heavenly Father manifest a father's heart and respond to those who, like children, come and depend on him? God will not mock us when we ask. He'll not give a stone in mockery and watch us break our teeth while we try to bite. God will not give us that which would defile us, nor that which would ultimately destroy us. He gives wisely. He gives guardedly. But He gives because He has a Father's heart. Now our Lord gives an illustration of that. He said, if you, like children, in your weakness and impotence, come to the Father and ask God for power, for strength, for victory, to triumph, He will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him. In the Old Testament, one of the greatest gifts that God had to give to His children was the gift of His own Holy Spirit. Two gifts that God was going to give. One, the gift of His Son to be a Savior. And the other, the gift of the Holy Spirit to be our sustainer, our life, our power. Let me read several verses where we see this so clearly. I take you back to the prophecy of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, God said, I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes, and ye shall keep My judgments and do them. I will put My Spirit within you. Or I turn to the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. Then He describes the results of the giving of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and in verse 16, our Lord spoke of this promise when He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter or helper, that He may abide with you forever. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 4, we find the resurrected Christ commanded the disciples that were assembled together that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. And the promise from the Father was the promise that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in them. Our Lord had spoken of that in the upper room in John chapters 14 to 16. And when you turn into the second chapter of the book of Acts, you find the fulfillment of that which the Father had promised as His gift to men when the Holy Spirit came to take up His residence in the bodies of blood-bought believers. That was God's gift. God had a second gift, and I think of that as it is given to us in the 8th chapter of Romans, where Paul said verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Father gave the Spirit. The Father gave the Son. The Son died and rose again. The Spirit came to dwell in believers. These were God's gifts. But then Paul in Romans 8 draws this conclusion. If God gave such gifts to men, if God gave His Son because He loved the world, and if God gave the Spirit to believers because He loved believers, is there anything that the Father heart of God would withhold from His children? Hear what He says. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? All things. And whatever our need, we can come to God with the assurance that God will give us what we need. And how do we know He will do it? Because He has a Father's heart. And if characteristic of a father's heart that he responds to the need of helpless little ones who call on him. One of the greatest joys that I have as a pastor is to mingle with our little tots before or after Sunday school. And you know, there are lots of these little folk. They can't more than toddle. But when they see me out there in the hall, they want to come and toddle to see Dr. P. And some of them have already gotten to where they can't go home after Sunday school until they've seen the pastor. And they can't reach very high up, and so I like to get down on my knees where I can look at them and get their hugs and hug them. Do you think that there's anything one of those little ones could ask me that I wouldn't give him were it in my power to do so? Why? Because I'm good? No. Because I have a father's heart. And I see my own children some years back now, but I see my own in those little ones. And it'll be a delight to do anything I could do because I have a father's heart. And sometimes there are some who've reached manhood and they walk around the campus of the seminary and they come in and sit down and share with me some of the needs they have and ask me to bear a burden with them. Sometimes the needs are great and they've had enough confidence to share it with me. Do you think there is anything that I wouldn't do for those fellows? Why? Not because I'm good, I'm evil, but I have a father's heart, and I see my own in them. And oftentimes, while I can't meet the needs myself, God has made it possible for me to have contact with some who can, and I can be an intermediary, and oh, I testify to the joy that's mine when I can be an intermediary between one in need and one who stands ready to meet that need. And a father's heart rejoices. I think of one little fella that often used to come to our house. And he learned that in our freezer there was always some ice cream. You know, that little fella would come and he'd sit by me on the sofa and he'd snuggle over to me. First thing you know, he'd say, you know, I'm awful hungry. And some ice cream would taste awful good. Do you think I could refuse ice cream to that lad? Well, you know I couldn't. And it embarrassed his folks no end that he would ask for ice cream. It flattered me, but not them. And so they told him that if he asked for ice cream, he couldn't have it. So he came and he wiggled up to me. And he said, I'm not going to ask for ice cream. But if you should happen to ask if I'm hungry, I would say yes. Why did he get his ice cream? Because I happen to have a father's heart and respond to a request. And beloved of God, that is putting it as simply as I know how, why God answers prayer. Because he's a father with a father's heart. And if even evil men will respond to the need of a little one who depends on them, his father heart will move heaven and earth to meet the need that his child asks him for. We pray, our Father, that the Spirit of God may take this simple message concerning one of the most profound truths in all the Word of God, the depth of the love of the heart of God for us and apply this truth to us. Let thy blessing be our portion as we go with thee from this hour of fellowship together. May the riches of thy grace and mercy and peace rest and abide upon each one, now and ever. Amen.